Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 36.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to know more about me, feel free to check out my personal website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have my very good friend and personal coach, Deborah Sperling. Deborah has been a professional voiceover artist for over 25 years. Over that time, she has been the voice of national television campaigns such as Pampers, Johnson & Johnson, Charmin, Folgers, Olive Garden, JCPenney, Maybelline, and so many more. She is also very heavy in the promo game, as being the voice of WeTV, the Oxygen Network, and many other stations. In this episode, we talk about authenticity in voiceover, union versus non-union rates, and how to stop acting the words in your script. So how are you today, Deborah?
I'm good. I'm really good. Wait, I'm going to get my coffee too.
So how do you take your coffee in the morning?
Strong with vanilla coconut milk.
Vanilla coconut milk.
Yes, unsweetened vanilla coconut milk, if we're going to be precise.
Okay, do you add any sweeteners to it at all, or is it just...
No. Oh, God, no. Sugar and coffee, blah. To me, that's like, what's the point? No sweetener.
So you've done some really large campaigns. How did you get wrapped up in the voiceover industry? How did you start?
Oh, gosh. The gods shined on me. Well, 26 years ago, I started like a very long time ago. You were probably in diapers. Well, I spent my whole life training to be an actor. I am an actor. Coming from New York, I went to the High School of Performing Arts in New York City, LaGuardia, and then I went on and I got a BA in theater at the University of Buffalo, and then I went to Case Western in Cleveland and got my master's in theater, studying in Shakespeare, and I actually studied for a semester abroad when I was an undergrad at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London. And and then after graduate school, I also taught acting classes when I was getting my master's. So I got to teach 3 years of acting, undergraduate acting classes while I was getting my master's, because I love teaching. So then I was on tour doing a children's theater tour. I got my equity card after graduate school. And when I came back to New York, my agent said, you have a very interesting voice. Have you thought about voiceovers? And honestly, I was kind of like, what's a voiceover? because back then celebrities didn't do voiceovers, and it wasn't even in the first couple of years of when I was working, I would say, people would say, what do you do? And I would say, I do voiceovers, and they would say, what is that? So it was a time ago. So he sent me out on an audition and said, you know, you're going to go, they're going to say slate your name. And I was like, what's a slate? He explained, you say your name and you're going to have a script. And I was really fortunate. I booked the second thing I ever auditioned for. And then everything was in person then. And back then, if you wanted to do anything in commercials, you needed to be basically on the East Coast. And 95% of all, if not 99% of all animation at that point was all on the West Coast. So, I booked the second thing I auditioned for. And then all of a sudden, I started getting requests. Casting directors were requesting me. And before I knew it, I was on an American Express campaign and had like 6 network spots. And then I was like, bye, mom and dad, I'm getting an apartment in the city. And yeah, so I was really, really fortunate. And I started working a lot and just loving the craft, doing so many different things in voiceovers. And in the evenings, I was one of the founding members of the Actor Shakespeare Company. So I was doing Shakespeare all evening, and then doing voiceovers all during the day, and just, yeah, living my best life, as my daughter says, living your best life.
So are you still a part of doing Shakespeare work?
Well, speaking of my daughter, so okay. because this was all before my husband and I actually were both in the Shakespeare Company, but this was before I got pregnant with her. So I was doing Shakespeare all night, and then I was doing voiceovers all day and running around, and everything was in person. So audition all over the city, and then booking here and booking there. It just like great, and then go right to rehearsal or go right to do the show. And then when we got married and when I got pregnant, if I were to continue with my Shakespeare stuff, I would never see my daughter, because I was out doing, you know, VO stuff all day long in the city. And then if I was doing Shakespeare at night, I would never see her. So fortunately, because of this amazing job that I am beyond grateful for, I say I'm probably the most grateful voiceover artist you will know. I am so eternally grateful for this craft and for my union and for everything that this wonderful craft has afforded me in my life, which is why I love giving back as well. I was able to support us during the day, and my husband was a stay-at-home dad for 7 years. Well, I was just 100% supporting us doing voiceovers, so I never had to have any other job. So for 26 years, that's all I've ever done. I mean, in terms of, I've never had to have another job or do anything else other than voiceover work since that first booking. So I'm eternally grateful.
Fantastic. Do you remember how it felt going from camera work to being behind the microphone? Like, was that?
I didn't really do camera work.
Okay.
For me, it was theater. It was the stage. So everything I did was on stage. I once booked an on-camera commercial, like a really goofy thing. Because I when I was with Paradigm, I mean, I have, you know, there's the voiceover department, the on-camera department, and they would send me out. But honestly, I kind of told them at a certain point I didn't want to go out for anything that wasn't a national network spot that filmed in New York, because I was busy doing VO stuff all day, every day. And since that was my bread and butter and what I was booking all the time, I didn't want to leave New York to go someplace else to film something and miss out on like amazing VO opportunities that, you know, gave me my house and my, you know, health insurance and my vacations and everything else. So and just such a love, and it just the respect and the love of the craft that over the years, just I love it. I adore. I mean, you know, I mean, I adore this craft, and just feel so grateful to get to do what I love.
Is all of your work coming from agencies, or do you do any form of direct marketing?
all of my work comes from my agents. I have an agent in New York, in Chicago, in LA, and then I also have a manager for promo. I do a lot of promo stuff too. I was the voice of the Oxygen Network, the voice of WeTV. So I do a lot of promo stuff also, and I do movie trailers and things. So it's very difficult to do direct marketing when all the work I do is 100% union.
Gotcha.
So I don't know what I would direct market to. I mean, the only thing, honestly, that falls out of that jurisdiction, because promos have never been formally unionized or organized, is promo work, which doesn't count as like working off the card, so to speak. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like promos. Many of them pay, you know, the union rate, but it's not formally organized. So they get the option. I mean, ABC, NBC, and CBS, the networks, do absolutely pay for the promo, for the tag, which is what union wages are. But when I did Oxygen and WeTV, they both actually paid the union rate. But a lot of things, like when I do USA Network and different things, they'll pay for the half hour or the hour. They'll say, here are a bunch of scripts and here's the rate we'll give you for the hour or for the half hour. So also still, you know, still great. But yeah. But yeah, so as far as direct marketing, your actual question, no, I've actually never done any marketing like that. Honestly, the only time I'm just delving into that a little, because all of a sudden, you know, now I'm putting my class out there, and although my students seem to be doing the marketing for me, so I'm I'm kind of not really having to do the marketing. Also incredibly grateful.
You want to start getting into coaching?
I always did it. I mean, ever since, I think, 3 or 4 years into doing this, because I miss teaching. I love teaching, from teaching acting classes when I was in graduate school. I love it. And then when the pandemic happened, in terms of this class that I teach, it just, this work just morphed into something. And also, to be quite honest, during the pandemic, I just saw stuff happen where people all of a sudden started raising their coaching rates, and people that haven't worked in the business in 20 years started teaching classes. And I know this business is so fluid. What I was doing 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago is so different than what you hear me on TV doing now, that I don't understand how people like that can take money from people when they're not actually currently in the business. Not that everyone doesn't have something to give, but there were just a lot of people out there that were just coaching and teaching and putting up, you know, putting their shingles out on the, what's the expression?
Right,
you know,
right.
and charging so much money and actually upping their rate once the pandemic hit, because so many people were building studios, and so many people on Broadway that had to go home to their folks' house and couldn't work anymore. And their agent said, well, if you can get a studio and you get into voiceovers. And I felt like so many people were taking advantage of that. I literally dropped my rates when the pandemic hit. I mean, because I make my living like being a voiceover actor. I teach because I friggin' love it. I mean, it gets me high. You know, you were in my class.
Right.
I love it. So, yeah. And then this work just came out of it, and the private coaching, and then almost turning these classes, the authenticity and voiceover class is, I mean, I think of it and I tell people it's really more like a small group acting class, because mm-hmm. that's kind of the feeling you get when you're in class, a safe, intimate environment where you're free to be your authentic self, which is what everybody wants on a script now. Because nobody's looking for this. You know, every script says we want the neighbor next door. You know, we want to feel like the person talking to us is our best friend. So that's where, you know, how do you feel comfortable enough to get on a mic and not feel like you have to push out some crazy thing, and you're just like, hey, this is me, this is who I am. and I'm actually talking to someone, and that's actually what's going to get you the job. So, yeah.
And I
know, I'm talking a lot, Andrew.
Perfect. And I know from personal experience, but just for audience sake, what are some of the fundamentals of the authenticity of voiceover that you teach, and how do you help people to find that intimate place behind the microphone?
Well, I mean, it's not even really find it, because everybody has it. It's just the right choice. It's really just, what choice do you make? The main thing in my class that I teach is, how do you stop acting words? How do you stop acting words,
right,
and use the words to act upon the person that you're speaking to?
Get away from that broadcast voice and sound like you're reading a script. Right.
Yeah, just how do you bring out your authentic self really, really talking? Because that, and I also say, well, you've heard me say this, there are like 10,000 people that can act a script better than you can. Mm-hmm. There just are. I'm one of them, and I spend every day trying not to act a script, because the gold in all of it is that there's only one you. And that's what gets the job. How many times does a producer or a copywriter have to hit play and hear da 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 da? What word am I stressing? Am I hitting the right word here? And the thing that actually stops people in their tracks is when someone's actually talking to them. And I say, in real life, it's what affects you also. Because you want to turn off the radio or turn off the TV when someone's acting in your face. Forget it. In your real life, when someone's talking at your face, you just want to say, get away from me. But when someone's really communicating with you, you actually lean in and want to listen to them. And we all have that power. And we all have that unique power. You're never competing with anybody else to get a role, ever. You're just competing with yourself to be the most authentic you that you can be. And that's amazing. And that should give people confidence on the mic, because there's only one you. So it doesn't matter how many people are auditioning. It's, I'm giving a gift. I'm opening my mouth and I'm giving the gift of me, and I'm the only me in the whole world. And that's every single person. So yeah, and also the fun and the gratitude, and how do you have gratitude just to be able to do something that you love? Because the mic picks up all of that.
So what do you do outside of the booth? Like, what do you and your family go do? I know you spend a lot of time in voiceover. What do you enjoy?
Oh, I scuba dive. We scuba dive. My whole family, my husband, my daughter, myself. Actually, in like 6 weeks. Of course, I'll book a major like network campaign and won't have to go because I booked this trip. But in 6 weeks, we're going to Cozumel to get our advanced scuba certification. Yeah, so we love scuba diving. that's my thing that's different than other than this. But I mean, when people say, "What do you do aside from work?" Well, for me, yes, I get paid to do this, but this is like, I love this. Mm-hmm. Like I love it. So I don't ever think of what I do as work. Yeah, there's discipline and there's craft and there's all of that, but to just be able to do something you love. That's, my father said that to me. He said it, what there, I know it's the expression, if you do what you love, you never have to work a day in your life, you know?
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Like, we're blessed. We're just blessed. But look at you. You're in a studio. You have headphones. You have a microphone. I say, right, you're invited to the party. Be grateful that you've even been invited to the party, and to get the chance to audition, to get scripts. Like, that's amazing. It's a chance to like have your craft and give a piece of yourself and be creative and all of it. I mean, I get this way with every job and every audition, and I've never stopped feeling this way ever. I don't get people that feel burned out on this. I mean, I feel like if you feel burned out on this, then you're just acting words into a microphone and you're not taking advantage of, you know, the craft. You're not taking advantage of being able to give a piece of yourself authentically, because that can't, you can't burn out when you're doing that.
Right. So you said that the industry has changed and that you the reads that you're doing now aren't what you were doing 10 or 20 years ago.
Dramatically.
How have they changed?
Well, because literally, how many scripts do you get a day that say, I mean, half of them literally say, we don't want a voiceover artist. We don't want an announcer. We don't want a voice actor. That's not true. They do want a voice actor, but they want to believe, they do want to believe someone's really talking to them. And when I first started, I mean, when I first started, it was really that, even in promos to, coming up next on NBC, like even that read, even it is no longer that read. Now it's coming up next on NBC. Like now it's I still technically know what to do, but I'm actually really speaking to somebody. So much of that has changed. Yeah, I don't want to say it's not that it's low key or doing less. I think it's trusting yourself more and knowing this is the hardest part for a human being, which is me by myself on a microphone doing nothing. You can't really do nothing because you're a human being, but me talking to someone, how could that possibly be enough? That's what people think. I have to do something or put something on it because me just being me, how could that be enough? Because that's the human condition, right? Unfortunately, thinking I'm not enough. But when you get to a place when you realize not only am I enough, but I have this gift to give just by opening my mouth and being authentically myself, every single one of us has that gift. Then you can relax and you don't feel like you have to push so much. Just yeah, I mean, how I'll ask you and turn the tables on this. I mean, when you took my class, right? How did it feel for you to be on the mic and not feel like I have to act the words and just have the freedom to, wow, I get to speak to someone and be myself.
It felt natural. I didn't run out of breath. I didn't feel like I had to punch certain things. I just acted like I was speaking. We went off of my younger self, and I acted like I was speaking to my younger self, and
Yeah.
it was
And
exciting.
you weren't even acting like it. You really were speaking to your younger self. Like that's what, and I love what you just said. I didn't even run out of breath because guess what? When you're actually really talking, you never run out of breath. Ever. And you never know what I don't know what the next words coming out of my mouth are going to be while I'm talking to you, but look, still not running out of breath. You don't hear me talking and go, right? You just don't do that in real life. So, yeah. Oh, that's so good to hear.
Now, I've even been taking that into the audiobook world, and it has saved me so much time.
That's
So
amazing.
much
Oh, that makes me so
time.
happy.
So, if you were to write a letter to yourself when you first got into your first acting class from
My first
now,
acting class?
yes, way back when you first started college,
No, it wasn't college. I went to the High School of Performing Arts. I was like
high
14
school.
years old.
It was high school.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then high school, if you were going to send a letter back to your high school self from your standpoint now, send it back in the future, back in the past, what would that
Yeah.
letter say? What would you tell yourself?
Wow, that's a deep one. I had the greatest teachers, like the greatest teachers, but the stuff I teach now about knowing that when you hit record or when you start talking, that you being 100% yourself is enough. Oh, you're gonna get me all. My younger self did not believe that. My high school self that came from Queens. I mean, I talk like this. I lived in Queens. I took three trains to get to performing arts. And so many people in my grade were from Manhattan. And I remember my first day of school. I literally remember this. I had this like poofy shirt with pink polka dots on it. And people were like had chains and like lip piercings and like ripped clothes. And I just felt like, oh, I don't belong here. And so that I think that all carried into my stuff. And just I think it took me a long time to get to the place where I am or where I got to in college or in graduate school of, yeah, I'm really enough. And yeah, I have something really wonderful to give that doesn't come from an ego place, That's the thing, you know, it doesn't come from, I'm the shit. It comes from, I'm a human being that truly feels like I can be myself. And that's a gift, because not everyone feels like they can just be themselves. But I didn't always have that. And I remember walking into the drama bookshop or applause bookshop and feeling like, oh my God, do I even belong here? So I guess what I would tell myself is, I don't even know if I could, you know, I don't even know if she would believe it. But then again, it's weird, Andrew, because in some ways I wouldn't tell her anything, because that whole journey got me to here. And I wouldn't change a thing from where I am right now. Because I think if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be able to teach the way I teach. I wouldn't be able to relate to people the way I relate to them, because I know, I really know and remember what that felt like, feeling like I was so not enough. Wow, did not think this was going here. What an interesting, awesome question.
You are so wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been—
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I know, you know, I could talk forever. No, thank you. This is a thrill. I didn't even have a sip of my coffee.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Deborah talk about how to truly bring the intimacy in yourself behind the microphone, and how she learned to make the right choices through her personal experiences to captivate audiences around the world. If you'd like to know more about Deborah and her coaching, hop on over to www.deborahsperling.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.